Time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor. We're joined by the man who made it 1 week without his family, Eric Meehan. Hello, Eric. Uh-oh, and then we lost him. Where'd he go?
I like the Canadian angle to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, we put it all together. It's magical.
Clearly. I worry what's going to happen when Carrie leaves.
We all do.
As we were talking about earlier, I have no doubt things will continue on with nary a bump in the road.
Oh, do we lose Eric?
I believe we may have.
My goodness. See that?
He was so sad.
Right.
That he just said, I'm not going to do it. I'm done.
I'm still here.
Oh, there you are.
You
okay.
I was here, and actually Carrie kind of faded out. So I don't know. Dear. I haven't moved, though.
All right.
I will stay right here.
Right.
My son is next to me with a bottle. A bowl full of ramen. Perhaps that's disrupting the waves. I don't know.
Perhaps.
He's looking at me with just disgust. Oh, it's just terrible. But hey, if anybody's looking for a house with a television studio built into it here in Maine, I hear there's probably one that's going to become available soon. Very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope, as I said earlier, I hope it doesn't mean he spends more time here.
Yeah, that's awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine running into him and like the Shaws. Oh, hey. You know, and I feel bad because, first of all, I grew up with a very, very fine, upstanding member of his community who every day wore a bow tie, and that's my father. And, of course, we have the infamous Jeff Curlin in this community. Again, bow ties used to really indicate quality, and I hope that all comes back. So, anyway, I hope everybody's well. I don't even know how to tie a bow tie. It shows you my quality or lack thereof. We're going to run through cider and mead today. We were talking about cooking with things, but just a quick overview of what both of the cider and mead sort of mean in the alcoholic community, and then how to cook with them and enjoy cooking with them. So cider is the word itself originally comes from it's a Jewish term, shikar. Normans brought it over from France in 1066. The infamous William the Conqueror, Guillaume, I imagine, and obviously Normandy and Brittany are huge apple orchard areas. That's the part of France where they do not really do wine, but they do both pear and apple beautifully. If you go to, for instance, Great Britain, places like that, and you talk about cider, you're talking about, by definition, an alcoholic beverage. What we know as cider is basically unfiltered apple juice. And that is something that kind of happened after the temperance movement when we still wanted to, you know, keep the orchards in business, but of course didn't want to have anybody going around with a slightly tipsy attitude, even though if you just kind of let it ferment on its own. Anyway, moving on. But why it was such a big deal, especially here in the northeast part of the country, is that, of course, we've talked about phylloxera, but basically in the early 1800s, especially, and then once all the phylloxera louses, lice, I guess, devastated the vineyards of Europe, the apples here in America provided us with an obviously local, cheaper way to get our drink on. And so we started having hard cider as a thing. And then, of course, there was some that would take the whole distillation process and take it even further. So apples have been, and anyone who, you know, has traveled up, you know, the Hudson River Valley has seen, you know, countless orchards and stuff like that. And what's really cool is now a lot of people are doing a lot of heirloom varietals and kind of going back to those days, you know. And so obviously, you know, we at Bangor Wine have some very interesting ciders made both the, you know, locally, and then but predominantly all of them are from the Northeast, even, you know, the ones that are not from Maine. So it's kind of a big thing. And what was interesting is, you know, obviously when the vineyards of Europe were brought back, the sort of high-class Brits moved back to wine, which is when they started to develop their, if anyone's ever heard of the Master of Wine and Court of Master Sommeliers, those are both British designations. And that's when it really dates from, is the fact that they're like, oh, remember, we know wine, which is funny because at the time, no longer the case now, but certainly at the time, they didn't make any wine. They just thought they knew all about it, which is very British. but that's when it dates from. But the middle class and the working class, you know, kept the cider thing. So that's why it is sort of, you know, obviously you get your pints. But sometimes the pints are of cider, and most of them are gluten-free. Some of the bigger mass-produced stuff do have some gluten, you know, some malt extracts to sort of as fillers. But by and large, it's gluten-free, so that's something to keep in mind. When you're cooking with it, it's really, really delightful because it adds not only an apple-y quality, but a really sort of wonderful moisture. So I like, you know, we do the recipe for like the beer bread and stuff. If you make a cider bread, it's really excellent, especially if you can add in, you know, some baked apple slices, some cinnamon, and then do like a cider. That will really warm everybody's bellies, a little bit of that, some nice butter. It's absolutely fantastic. Or actually cream cheese goes really, really nicely on that as well. So some ideas there. And then mead is the other one that I just wanted to get through because we are going to head into a new month next Tuesday. Mead is also a wonderful beverage to consume and cook with. What is mead? Mead is honey wine. And essentially, you know, you need to ferment out some sugar. So the sugar comes, in this case, from honey. You can, of course, chapitalize. It means adding just other sort of raw sugar to increase the ABV, the alcohol by volume. But by and large, you don't really need to. Honey contains quite a lot of sugars in and of itself. And it can go anywhere. I mean, commercially available meads go anywhere from like 8% to 20%. So do check what it is you're buying and consuming and cooking with. And a lot of meads, frankly, are flavored. So if you're going for like the straight up honey wine quality, either to consume or to cook with, make sure that's what you're getting. Maine has some meaderies. The biggest one out of business, which is the mead, which is down in Portland. We have some of their last products, and the nice thing about mead, by the way, honey doesn't oxidize, so it stays pretty fresh for quite a long time, which is kind of cool. But we have Ager's Den in Pittsfield. There's Bat Friar. There's several main meaderies that are worth checking out. And, of course, anybody who's been in the store and other stores probably knows like the Viking's Blood and stuff like that from Denmark. Those are certainly, you know, longtime industry staples. Mead has been around forever, which means no doubt it has been used as a cooking agent as well as a getting your drink on agent. The earliest residual samples are from almost 3000 BC. And evidence in China from 7,000 BC. And the first mention of it is in the Rig Veda, which is an ancient Hindu text dating from between 1700 and 1100 BC. So there's deep human history with mead. And frankly, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Again, this is something that doesn't oxidize, which means it doesn't essentially go bad just because it exists in nature along with oxygen, which keeps us alive. That is not the case with pretty much any other beverage. So it's easy, I think, to understand why it's a valuable thing that's been around for a while. You can sub it for wine. The one thing about mead that I will say, especially just if you have it sort of straight up without any additives, is that the finish is very sort of spicy, like if you've ever had sort of spiced candy drops. It's that kind of spice. So just do consider that when you're cooking with it. I've made wonderful, especially with some of the flavored ones, like a berry flavored one. I've made wonderful slush as we're coming into the summer months that will be super refreshing for people. Makes wonderful glazes as well, and like a roast pork chop, something like that. It really works beautifully. So, as would cider, by the way. The other two things that I would just consider cooking with, besides your beer and your wine, and obviously hard liquor, you can cook with a ton, make nice glazes with that as well. So my encouragement, my admonitions, I run out of time, but this has been the cooking with booze month. Have fun with it, play with it. Do remember that as long as you cook it, the alcohol will burn off or cook off. So it's not like you're doing anything harmful or whatever to your children or whatever. And you're adding some wonderful flavors as long as you use something that you'd be willing to drink yourself. Don't use anything labeled cooking, whatever, and experiment. Have fun. And don't marinate salmon in red cooking wine. And that all said, take care of each other, and I guess I will talk.
That sounds great.
Appalachian.
We'll look forward to it. Thank you, Eric. Have a good week.
Very good. Be well. Bye-bye.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.